Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And welcome back to the Beer Ladies podcast. I am Lisa and I am your host today. And I am joined today by Christina and Katie. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
And we await Tandy's return from South Africa. It's not going to be much longer now. So fingers crossed we'll have her back soon. But before we dive into this week's episode, we want to do our usual spiel. We are on all of the socials at Beer Ladies Pod. We really appreciate you guys liking, subscribing, sharing, but we're on Twitter, we're on Mastodon, we're on basically everything. We're on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, you already know we're on YouTube, so hello. But of course, we're basically everywhere. You can go to our link tree to find out more, find ways to support us. We really appreciate that. We love it. But having said all of the usual things, this is going to be another one of our kind of, we were calling kind of a meditative episode, where we're just going to sort of freeform on a beer-related topic, because we found out that not only do we enjoy these, but you listeners seem to enjoy these too. So that's good feedback. We like that. And this week, we're going to talk a little bit about beer and seasonality and, you know, what happens when you drink something out of season, or are there things that you really, really look forward to in a particular season, or is it really kind of based on mood or even just the weather that day? And we were talking a little bit before we started about just, you know, it rains a lot here in Ireland. Sometimes, like Christina, you're saying, you just need that Guinness because that's, you know, for the day, you know, the day that's in it, all good. So, but before we get into all of those things, we're going to do our usual, what you drinking? So Katie, let's start with you.
So today I am drinking, I feel like, what was it? Stars in your eyes. Today, Matthew, I'm going to be whoever. Christina's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm drinking KPA Kinsale Pale Ale from Black's Brewery.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Excellent. It's probably technically not the right season, seeing as we've got a sub-zero temperatures coming next week, but hey.
I refuse to believe that. No.
Yeah, we'll believe the snow when we see it. Lovely little beer. There we go.
Absolutely. And that's something we'll come back to too. Are there things that are just perfect for every season? So definitely we'll put a pin in that and come back to it. But Christina, what do you have?
Well, I have one beer that I think Lisa might also have. So I brought two beers just to demonstrate the differences in seasonality and like contrast. So I actually had this one a couple weeks ago. So this is the Dead Center Sea Sunshine. And I actually just noticed that they have a best before date, which is March 15th of this year. So just really close. and then Trouble Brewing's Pumpkin Ale or Pumpkin Brew. And I have thoughts on the seasonality of this that might not be what everyone else's thoughts on the seasonality of this. So I'm excited to talk about them as we get on.
Oh, definitely. And yes, as you suggested, I also have a Trouble Pumpkin Brew. Certainly not because I was hoarding them late last year. Nothing to do with that. That would be crazy. But again, it is something that I do look forward to every year when it comes out, whether it's the Trouble one or other things kind of along those lines. So maybe that's where we'll start, is we'll just kind of think, are there certain styles or certain particular beers where you just really look forward to it every year. And maybe because it's not around the rest of the year, or maybe it is, and you just know it's a new fresh batch. But you know, what are your thoughts on that? And Katie, we'll start with you, because you look like you've got thoughts.
Have thoughts. Look, I don't look as forward to the pumpkin beer arriving every autumn as you do, but around the same time of year, I do look forward to the new Oktoberfest
beers.
Oh, I just, when they're fresh and
definitely
they're new, and you know that they've literally just been bottled in the past month and brewed and bottled, and they just taste delicious. And I do look forward to them every year. I love them, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Always here for a good fest beer. And like you say, when it's fresh, it makes such a difference. I mean, you could certainly have it year round. We're not saying don't do that, but it really is a special thing when you see the shiny new bottles.
Yeah, and shelf. I will go out of my way to try and get them, you know, just because they're nicer, the fresher they are, if you can get them really, really fresh. So that would be definitely one seasonal beer that I like. And another one, we lived in Oregon, and when they do the wet hops, when they do the hop harvest, yeah, and they have the wet hops, if you go to any of the microbreweries around there, they're really nice because that's so fresh as well.
Yeah, gorgeous. Definitely.
I look forward to that time of the year too, because it mightn't be my favorite style, but you know, I will imbibe an IPA every now and again, or 10, you know.
But you're right, that freshness does make a difference. And I feel like we may be coming back to this as a theme again and again, but I feel like we really only have the Ballykill Cavern one with the hops they grow there at the farm. Are there others that we can think of?
There's Wicklow Wolf.
Oh, the Wicklow Wolf one. Yes, good, good shout. Yeah. Yeah,
Canvas as well.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, good call. Yeah, you might not always be able to get them, but maybe that's just us saying, oh, make sure you get them. You won't see them long. So,
I'm trying to think who else.
It's
I'm
definitely
sure there
harder
are others,
here.
And it just like my brain is just like.
Yeah, it's definitely harder here. There's just not the same. You know, you can't really grow hops well here, so it's just not the same scale that you have in an Oregon or. You know, Washington or even up in British Columbia, just, you know, you have so many amazing, you know, fresh hop, wet hop beers that time of year. And oh gosh, and you're right, it's just, it's a completely different thing. Even if you're not a big fan of that normally, it really does make a difference if it's, especially if it's a good year. So
definitely. How about you, Christina?
Well, I'm going to talk about the pumpkin brew.
Never a bad time to talk about pumpkin beer.
Yeah. So I have many conflicting feelings about this. Well, obviously I'm obsessed with the pumpkin ale. I do think though, there is something special about it only coming out a certain time of year. I like to have that to look forward to every year. Yeah. Now, however, for me, Halloween season, spooky season, starts in September and it runs from September to November. It's 2 months. But I think pumpkin brew for me is also a Christmas beer. So for me, I have it from September through the end of December. And that's kind of when it stops for me, because I think, you know, pumpkin pie is also like a Thanksgiving or a Christmas thing. So like the sort of winter warmer flavors that you can get in pumpkin ales are very much also a Christmas thing for me, not just a Halloween or like harvest kind of a thing. So for me, the season of pumpkin ale is perhaps longer than the season is for other people. In particular here, it's very much in Ireland associated with Halloween and Halloween only. Whereas I think in the US, it does extend itself a bit longer, definitely into November, and for some people probably well into December. But yeah, I do really like just having it kind of at that time of year. It makes it something really special. I like having the thing to look forward to. It's like the same thing with spooky season. I just look forward to all the fun things and I try to keep them within it. I have kept this one. I kept some of them to drink over Christmas, but I've kept this one because I like to compare last year's to this year's. And I've never been able to do that before because I always drink all the time. But this year I was like, yeah, I'm going to keep one to try. And I know people are going to be like, Christina, it's going to be old by then. It's not going to be as good. Fair. But I just want to do it for science.
Hey, nothing wrong with a vertical tasting. I'm here for that. But I think you're absolutely right, because to me as well, there's a lot of sort of similar flavor profiles in a pumpkin beer that you would find in a winter warmer. I think there is a lot of, crossover in the middle of the Venn diagram there. And I think that's another example too, even if, we did our winter warmer category back when it was properly winter, but I think there's that, that is something that I'm like, I do look forward to that, but I don't want it the rest of the year. That is one that's just that very narrow band, whereas I'm kind of saying the pumpkin beer, I can go a little broader with that, but that specific kind of winter warmer kind of thing, especially if it's spiced, it's like, nope, this and no further. Love it when it comes out, but that's
sick of it.
You wouldn't really want it sit in the back garden on a nice summer's day. You want it by the fire, when you're all cozy and wrapped up and it's warming you from the inside out. And
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, speaking of those summer things, I know, we were chatting before we started recording, but hands in the park, this might be sort of a unique Irish thing, but that, that is something to look forward to. Very seasonal. Let's talk a little bit about cans in the park. What does it mean? And what are the best beers for that kind of just relaxing in the brief sunshine?
I think cans in the park are limited. I think you can probably do it all year round in other places, but in Ireland, you don't get the weather and the ground is soggy and mucky. So you have to wait for the ground to dry out enough so you can sit on it.
Yeah, or bring one of those blankets that's got the sort of insulated backing. But yeah.
Yes, well, I do like to be prepared, and I have brought my picnic blanket along. What's the best? Something light and sessionable. Yeah. You don't want something heavy for cans in the park.
No.
Because cans in the park always lead somewhere.
It's a start, it's not a finish. Yeah.
Yeah, and it is usually the start of a session. Long session. No, as an immigrant here, one of the first things I learned about was cans in the park, and it is one of my favorite Irish experiences. I'm obsessed with cans in the park. What could be a better thing to do than sit outside in gorgeous weather we have in the summer and drink cans with your friends? Big bag of cans with the lads. It's just one of my favorite things about being here, one of my favorite things about the culture here. I'm obsessed, love it, do it every summer, spring, gonna do it for the rest of my life, favorite thing, love it.
Oh, it's so nice, yeah.
Why doesn't it happen it does happen in Europe, I know this, because I've done cans, by the lake.
It's Germany. Illegal.
Well, it's technically, is it legal in Ireland?
I mean, again.
Well, didn't Leo come out during lockdown and say it was fine? I don't know. But see, the thing is, in the US, it's illegal, and it's illegal in that we're going to charge you and you're going to have a fine at a minimum. Some places it's more than a misdemeanor and you can get in a lot of trouble. So it's something, it's like, in Ireland, it seems to be one of those things where it's like, it's a guideline, as long as you're not acting like an utter, gobshite, no one's going to care. Yeah. I've literally had a can in front of a guard and no one cares because you're not acting like an idiot.
Right.
But
exactly.
In America, no. You've got a can. Fine.
Yeah. And that's, I think there's a code of honor about the cans in the park, because you don't want, you don't want to be that person causing a problem. That's not, that's not on.
So. You don't want to screw it up for everybody. So you should be on your best behavior. I mean, best behavior, but don't fuck it up for the rest of us.
I do think that I don't think you'll get arrested. You might get moved on if you're causing a bit of aggro.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know. I haven't seen guards taking even alcohol off you. They're just here. Don't be doing that here now in front of me.
Exactly. Even though you've all, we all have literal bags that say big bag of cans, like we have the Whiplash one and, others out there. So it's just part of the culture. No one's weird about it. And again, if you are, you'll be, your friends will tell you, don't be that
rain
guy.
It in.
Yeah.
No, I love it. And it's absolutely like Katie said, I want a light beer, I want a sessionable beer. A lager, even beer that I wouldn't necessarily go for in the pub, maybe stuff that doesn't even have that much going on. Yeah. Like something really, really simple, clean, good, but it doesn't have to be like the best beer ever, just cold and crisp. And I'm happy bunny. Like, it
yeah,
really...
absolutely. Something that, like you say, you can have a few of, you're not going to be causing a problem. You want it to be laid back, but just, you know, nice flavor, you know, perfect for out with friends. I think that there is a little bit of a crossover to it, at least for me, with kind of, you know, I would say football beer, like you might have at, you know, at a tailgate or that kind of thing. And I mean, you know, soccer, football, I don't understand the other kind. It's not my thing. But but again, like, I feel like, you know, you're having some just lovely low-key lagers, or sometimes really good lagers, but they're going to be, you know, sort of 4% or under. You don't want to be, you know, having, you know, a whole bunch of, you know, 6.5-7% lagers, because you'll be a mess by the time you either get into the stadium or, you know, get into the park or wherever you're going. So I think there's a lot of crossover with that, where, you know, if I'm in a stadium or about to go into one, you know, nothing wrong with a Carlsberg or, you know, something that's just, you know, very straightforward, all good. It's all about kind of time and place with that kind of thing. But.
And I also think, and this might be slightly controversial, sours. I know sours for me are good bag of cans beers. When it's warm out, sours.
That's a really good call. Yeah.
Sours.
Yeah. Nice goza. That's lovely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Although I will say, perhaps not the super complex ones like an Udbrun or like a Flanders Red, I might push more into like autumn or fall.
Yeah, that's fair.
Same thing. Yeah. Autumn or winter. Although I'll drink them all the time because I love them. But for me, like outdoor drinking is more of like, yeah, like a goza or something, you know, kettle sour, even like a creek, like other lambics are fine, but there's a line, because it's much better if it's a can, right, than a bottle. So that's another thing to take into consideration. You really want the can, something that tastes good out of a can, that really easy to transport, easy to recycle. You don't want glass.
Yeah, definitely. And if it's warmed up a little, it's still fine. You know, you don't want something that you have to really think about looking after.
Yeah.
You know, that can be a lot of work. And that is a reason I wish, and I've seen more of late, but like Radlers, Shandies, things like that, great for a cans in the park kind of thing. There's still a lot that are in bottles, more in cans of late, but love that kind of thing where you can just, you know, be relaxing, enjoying something that's very low key, but very refreshing. And, you know, it's all about the sun. I love this where, you know, where it's March in Ireland and we're like, sun, as if we're seeing a lot of it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well, yeah, honestly, this is another thing that I adopted when I moved here, was the fact that February marks the start of spring with Imbolc and Bridges Day. And now like my brain just like, yep, it's spring now. And it's really helpful. You know, because winter is really dark. And so the idea is like, oh, I've tricked my brain is like, oh, it's spring. And my brain is like, okay. And things just seem brighter and sunnier and whatever. Yeah. And I'm probably
and
the placebo effect. I don't care.
There's an old Irish saying that I can't remember in Irish, but it was from the winter solstice, the days get longer by the length of a chicken's foot. Have you heard that one?
No.
I bet it sounds better in Irish. I bet you're right.
Yeah.
I remember my primary school teacher used to say it. Oh, because we, you know, the grand stretch in the evening.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
My God.
Which we're going to hear coming soon.
Yeah.
It's already started.
Yeah, it probably has already started, hasn't it?
It was bright till what? 5 o'clock? It's nearly after 5 o'clock.
And it's noticeable now, like I'm really noticing it, and it like I can feel my mental health being a little bit better, because it's like woohoo. Because if you're not from Ireland, it's like light here in summer till like 11.
There's a whole the sun won't set type of a thing. Yeah, and if like me, you're, you know, take a small child to football practice twice a week, when it gets lighter at night, when you're like, oh, it's 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and it's not dark, you're just like, amazing. It's, you know, it definitely makes a difference. And of course, any child in a primary school here will tell you, you know, spring begins on the 1st of February. It just does. That's facts. So,
that's what I was taught in school. And then you're like, oh, but meteorologically speaking, on the 1st. And you're like, go away, you gobshite.
No, I'm not allowed to have any of those arguments. No, I'm just told it 1st of Feb, there's no discussion.
Yeah. So. And I think a lot of some people like will think Ireland is actually quite high latitude.
Yeah.
Is it latitude wise? Like it's up there with God, where it would be more like Vancouver than.
Yeah, it's definitely
is it
much
above higher than Vancouver?
I'm not sure. I think it might be about Vancouver because it's definitely, you know, certainly much further north than people think about. Like, people in Boston think, oh, it's like us. It's not. No, we're further north.
We're further north.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna do science on this. We'll give you.
We're gonna look at a map.
We're gonna look it up. What's Ireland's latitude? So yeah. So like I suppose we're not as extreme as the Scandies, you know.
Right. But we're not far off. We're not far off either. So. I mean, we can just be thinking now there's a wonderful wedding present song called I'm From Further North Than You. So just, you know, have that in the back of your mind. Google it if you don't know it. Okay. We're getting our science. What is it?
Yeah,
Christina?
It looks like it's firmly in Canada.
What's the number? Does it have the number for our latitude?
Let me look.
Oh, we should really have to have discussed this before the podcast and done our research. There you go.
We'll get comments saying, no, it's this and not that, but it'll be fine. Feel free to comment and say no, are much closer to this. So,
but even though we are so far north, there are people who swim all year round.
There absolutely are. Yes, I have a couple friends who get in the sea every day. So,
yeah, if I live closer to the sea, I think I might do that. And while I would not consider a beach beer in the winter, I might consider a beach beer in the summer.
That is a wonderful segue because there's a complete, you know, category for me of, you know, beach beer, poolside beer. But first, Christina, you got to report back.
Oh, I have nothing. I'm falling down rabbit holes. Okay. The GPS coordinates of Ireland are latitude of 53.1424 degrees north and a longitude of 7.6921 degrees west.
So we're 53.7 degrees north.
Okay, there you go, everyone.
That's where we are.
There you go.
How are we compared to you? Basically, you tell us.
Exactly, you tell us. Okay, so beach beer, poolside beer, holiday beer, because again, probably different from what we would have in a pub. I know for me, some of my favorites are like having been lucky enough to have gone to Hawaii a couple times, like some of the beers you get there are not things I would go for, although they do amazing brown ales there. Just gonna point this, you know, sort of plant this flag. Brown ales, Hawaii, beautiful. But there are a couple of just like really nice blonde ales, which are not normally my thing, but sitting by a pool, like we're talking about cans in the park, that's just so nice. Or again, a couple of different kinds of sours, maybe with some lemon or lime or tropical flavors, like all good. But yeah, Christina, Katie, would love to hear your kind of beach beer, holiday beer feels.
Because I'm not used to the heat and I get, I drink a lot. It would have to be fairly low alcohol.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying 4 and under.
Oh yeah.
I agree. I can get it. And yeah. Anything really? Nah.
Anything.
Lager, like a night Mexican lagers.
Yeah,
you know, nice refreshing lagers, definitely.
Yeah, and Pilsner. I would say too. Yeah. Any kind of good lager or some of the things that are veering toward like they might be like a cocktail but much lighter, like you're saying. So you're not, you know, having something that's super strong. But you get some of those tropical flavors maybe. But we're not talking a pastry stout. No.
Oh
no.
No, I'm going like strawberry daiquiri cocktail.
Yeah.
Not beer related, you know, by the pool, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be honest with you, I know everyone's going to be, I'm definitely more of a cocktail girly on holidays, especially like poolside. I want to drink out of a fruit. I want a fruit salad in my drink. I want it to also be a meal. I don't really like getting like super drunk when I'm like super hot, you know, because you get drunk too fast.
It's not a good feeling. No.
So I really like to have the cocktails because I can drink it slowly. It tastes nice. I'm getting also a lot of water. I can tell them not to put super boozy in it, although they never seem to listen. they're like, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. Oh, that's fine. But yeah, no, I'm a big fan of poolside cocktails, like, you know, with the pineapple, and definitely. Sometimes they're out of a pineapple, and pina coladas, and you know, all different kinds of cocktails. I really enjoy them. I really
absolutely enjoy them. I love a good Mai Tai. That's always, you know, good times.
I love Mai Tais, yeah. Margaritas.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I think that what I would drink in a pub in Dublin on a night out is not what I would want by the pool.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. No.
It's like a DI double, like an IPA or anything. Not really.
No.
Even too much. Advice. Nah. Too much.
No. It's either like you said, Katie. It's like a Mexican lager. It's something like really, really light, like a lawnmower beer, as they call it in the U.S. Or it's a cocktail. Like and to be honest with you, usually a cocktail. If it's during the day, nighttime, we might get a little different, but definitely during the day, usually for me, it's a cocktail.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah, good, like beachside, poolside cocktail here for that, especially if you can just like, when they just bring them to you and you're just sitting in the chair, it's like, oh, it's lovely.
Oh my gosh. Like, listen, so on my honeymoon, we were on a cruise and we did the unlimited booze package. Let me tell you, you didn't used to be a cocktail girly, if you will believe, but there I was able to try a bunch of different things that I was like, I'm not paying, you know, $20 for this, whatever, but here I can try it, and if I don't like it, I don't feel like I've wasted my money. And that I am in fact a cocktail woman. I like the cocktails.
And there you know, it's a funny thing, and we may have to make a whole separate episode about this, because I had something similar where for ages I just couldn't find any that appealed to me apart from like your basic stuff like a G&T or, you know, that kind of thing. And only later did I have a sort of cocktail realization. I'm like, oh, there's all kinds of good stuff out there. But you're right, they can be so expensive. You have to kind of figure out what you're going to like. And
Like it's a lot of, I was like really afraid, like I'm going to spend all this money on this and then I'm going to hate it. And then I'm going to drink it anyway because I feel bad. But then I'm also going to feel like I wasted my money.
Yeah. I think it's good if you go to a cocktail bar in a group and you go,
yeah,
I'm going to try this, but can we like mix and match if it doesn't suit me? And because usually someone in the group is going to be like the garbage bin for cocktails. I'll drink that.
For sure.
Hopefully. That's usually
I feel like maybe we're going to go to Vintage Cocktail Club sometime in the future.
Oh.
Yeah, or the Wine Pig.
Manifest.
Yes, for the Wine Pig.
Nice.
For sure.
Nice.
Awesome. Definitely.
But back to beer. So I was thinking, we've not even talked about saisons, like something that in theory is all about seasonality. But again, I feel like now, you know, like a Saison de Pont, just thinking about it, it's so perfect. You have it whenever you happen to see it, right? Like, but you know, I feel like we don't have the kind of, like, there's not an event where it's sort of specially released around here. Like when you see it, you see it, and you might have one. Like, you know, when last time we were at the Underdog, I was like, ooh, Saison de Pont is on, I will be having that. But I feel like we don't have this kind of, ooh, it's spring, I'm going to be having a Saison, that you might have in some places. So
absolutely.
Or like they used to do the Beaujolais Nouveau when, you know, they did that in France, didn't they? And I don't know, October.
Yes, because you always see the posters.
Like, oh, yeah. Le Beaujolais Nouveau, et arrivé. And you're like,
Although it's a funny thing though. Like I feel like it's maybe less tied to seasonality, but there's still kind of an event around certain beers. And I feel like we've moved away though from those sort of beer release events for the most part. I feel like that was a big thing like 10 years ago. But the one I know is still going on is when Pliny the Younger comes to Philly every year, a lot of they do it as a kind of big event. You can kind of turn up and get your glass for charity. And I think it's nice though that at least there's still a kind of if you like sort of altruistic part of it where, you know you don't have to stand in line and pay $25 for this little glass of beer, but it's become sort of just a tradition. And that I think, and you're still getting a great beer at the end of it, but I think, you know, people are sort of sophisticated enough about it now that they know it, they can get other things that are just as good, but it's still kind of an event. And I think there's something to that where it's still fun to, you know, meet people who, you know, are going to be there at a specific place. And I feel like we don't have as much of that. It'd be fun to see something like that. Like, I think like we have some good things happening with some of the craft beer meetups. So shout out to Brian for making those happen, because I think that's where we're seeing some special releases and things like that. But I do feel like it's you know, we're a very sort of, I don't want to say insular group of people who know about that, but it might be nice if there were something like that that were a little bit broader, where more people just kind of joined in the fun. Because you don't have to be a giant nerd, you can just be a normal and come along to some of these things. But
for sure.
Definitely. And I really do think that you can be drinking the nicest beer in the world, but if you're not with nice people, and sometimes it won't taste that good. I think that you can be drinking a crap beer, or a crap beer, you know.
Yeah.
with in really good company, and it just tastes delicious because of your company and because of the situation. And I think that is that can drive a lot of things as well, rather
I get another perfect segue, Katie. Is like, what about just the atmosphere, the event, you know? It's like you say, it doesn't have to be the beer doesn't have to be the thing. It can be the people, it can be the event, the atmosphere. And I think we've all had situations like that where we're like, oh, it was just so much fun and just so great to be with people. And especially, like, just think back, it's only a little over a year since pubs properly reopened here. And it seems like we're normal, you know, in air quotes. But you like, know, think about that.
There were months and months where you could not get a draft pint in Ireland.
Absolutely. Or you could get your takeaway Guinness and I'd be walking home with plastic cups trying not to spill them, and my poor hands, like, you're trying to, you know, get the foam off the top and not spill. But you know, best laid plans never quite worked out. But yeah, I feel like it's very easy to get back and kind of, you know, getting blasé about, like, oh, well, there's only this or there's only that. And but yeah, like, think about how lucky we are to just have all these things, you know, on draft now. That, still waiting for them to be on cask, just gonna say.
But every episode, Lisa's going to get her cask soapbox in. Yeah, exactly. And you got brown ale in as well. So cask and brown ale.
I've got two of them. I've not said anything about mild yet, but that could come. That could come. Actually, it's March, so March mildness will be. Just saying. There we go. So if you're keeping points at home, you know, everyone, you can tick all the boxes. But Christina, thoughts about just kind of, you know, what makes sort of just those occasions special beyond just that kind of beer or that, you know, style?
I think atmosphere is really important. Like, that first beer you have after a long fucking week, you know what I mean? Like, there's, even if it's not great, it just, it's so satisfying, right? Like, and I know someone's gonna, you can feel your body relax. Like, you just, it's like, it's putting that punctuation mark at the end of your week. Yeah. Not that, you know, like, it's like, okay, the stress, I'm compartmentalizing that for now. This is the weekend now. I'm claiming this beer. This is my Friday beer. This is what's helping me separate this from this. And I'm not talking about using it and getting, you know, wasted. I'm just saying, you know, for me, sometimes having that bullet point, that period at the end of the week, it just completely separates the two things for me and just changes my mindset. It's like, it's hitting that reset button, you know?
Yeah, it's saying work is done. And then, absolutely.
And I think there's something really nice about that. And it was the same thing, like, during COVID, when we were having all the Zoom conversations, there was something really lovely about having that first beer online with your friends and talking and being able to sort of escape for an hour, a couple hours on the Saturday. And those beers were always really special to me. And then I think, especially then, after not seeing everyone for so long, when we were able to do that trip to Galway, or when we were able to do that first cans in the park together, those beers there were some of the best beers I've ever had. I couldn't tell you what they were.
Yeah, exactly.
But they tasted so good because I had them with you, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, and I will treasure those memories, you know? Aww. Like, it's absolutely, for me, my friends and the company make a huge difference in how good the beer tastes. Like, if I'm around a whole bunch of people I don't like or I'm uncomfortable, it could be the best beer in the world. And I will, you know, be like, oh, this is a good beer. But the experience that's around it is just, falls flat.
Yeah, completely. How about you, Katie?
Best beer? Ooh, I would have to say, and I was thinking about this because I was like, what's been your best? Now, not the best beer you've ever had, but the best beer you've ever had, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One of those memorable experiences.
Yeah. And I was thinking, so I got a bus once. 2000. Yes, it was it just after the millennium? 2000 January, I got up after my fourth year exams in college. I got a bus from Bussaras to Budapest. Oh, Bussaras is the bus station in Dublin. via London and all across Europe, and a ferry here and a channel tunnel there. And we got in and we'd nowhere to stay. We went to the tourist office because this was like internet wasn't big.
Yeah.
But not here anyway then. And tourist office, we found a hostel and we put our bags down and then we were starving and we went to a Pizza Hut and they had a beer on tap, which was like, oh my God, this is amazing. They have beer on tap in the Pizza Hut because that you didn't have that in Ireland at the time.
Yeah.
And, we were like, oh my God, this is the nicest beer we've ever drank. Oh my God, this is so beautiful. And it was, I've never come across it. And I actually Googled it just before this. Goldfassel, it's called. It's an Austrian beer in Budapest. I don't know.
Okay.
It says it's Austrian. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. Oh my God, so nice. So nice.
Huh,
that was
wow.
And it was the whole situation where we were in.
Exactly.
And yeah. We had all done this trek of a journey and found our place to live and we were starving and we're getting food and it was much nicer, I suppose, than the macros in Ireland, even though it could have been a macro from Budapest, but it still tasted better, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's absolutely true. And I was thinking about this too, and I realized, you know, what was really, really good were those first couple of beers after my second kid was born. Because again, sorry, anyone who's been pregnant and had this whole thing where you're like, this is a long time. And it's not just beer. Of course, there's many other things you get told you can't have, very normal things. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion.
Freaking ice cream from the 99 machine.
Just
it's like, what the fuck?
All kinds of things. But I even like kind of went back to my, you know, Untappd to be like, what did I have? Because I knew they would let you have a champagne in the hospital, but you couldn't have a beer because that would be like down market and gauche. And, you know, anyway, but once we were out of the hospital, back home, there was a little bottle shop. And this is a sort of unique to Pennsylvania thing because complicated legal reasons, you can't sell beer. Well, now you can sell beer in certain supermarkets, but before you can, it's all owned by the state. Look up the Johnstown flood. It's complicated, everyone. It's a whole thing. I had a Yards Brawler at the little bottle shop. It's one of my favorite beers ever. It's a mild, ding, ding, ding. But there's a picture of, you know, me in the bottle shop with, you know, baby V in the carrier, and I've got my beer, and I'm just like, so happy to have this back. And again, it's not a super strong beer. It's low key. It's gorgeous, but like perfect for that occasion. And the fact that it's also one of my favorites, just, you know, all good, but it is the beer that I seek out every time we go back to the States, and it's just gorgeous. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things where when you haven't been able to have it for a long time, it's just so, so nice. And you just really savor that, you know, you don't have to go out and pound six other beers. You're just happy with the one. The hot dog I had with it was pretty good too, because you're also not allowed to have those, but it's a thing. Go ahead, Christina.
I do have a break from what I just said about drinking like light lagers and stuff on holiday and cocktails. So actually, I think one of my favorite beer experiences was I was on holiday in Lanzarote and it was at night and we popped into this really tiny Belgian beer bar. And what do I see on the menu but West Flettern 12?
Oh, in Lanzarote. Wow.
In Lanzarote. So the guy who owned it was Belgian. So okay. he had brought them with him. And this little bar is like right on the ocean. So you can see, you know, stars. There's no one around. We're the only people in this like tiny little pub. I mean, tiny. So obviously I ordered the West Flatiron 12, you know, he came out with a few little cheeses, and I just really have this like imprinted in my head, sitting there listening to the waves come in, not too hot, nice breeze, you know, no one's around, and just having it be the most relaxing experience. I know that this is one of, you know, supposedly the best beers in the world. And for me, it absolutely is, but I can't tell you where the beer starts and where the experience starts. Like, to me, it's all wrapped up in this thing. So if someone tells me it's the best beer, I'm like, yes, absolutely. But it's also because of the experience, like the, you know, being able to just stumble into this random for us place that, like, wow, you know, how is this here? This is wonderful. Chatting to the man who ran it, and, you know, he was lovely, and just kind of making that connection and talking about our love for Belgian beer, and then just having this, and it was wonderful.
Oh, gorgeous. I love that. That's such a good story. And you're right, it's about the atmosphere. It's about just everything coming together. Oh, lovely. I've also had Westy in sort of unexpected places, but it wasn't as good as that. It was nice. It was fine, but that's the whole package. Love that.
Now I want to go to Lanzarote again.
Well, I think on that note, we'll begin to wrap up, unless either you have other thoughts around sort of beer seasonality. And I think this will be good. We're going to shout out to Tandy, say, come back, comment. We want to know how it's different in the Southern Hemisphere. Are these feelings weird and different and strange? We would love to know more about that. So that might be a follow-up episode. You never know. But with that, I'll say thank you for listening. Please follow us at Beer Ladies Pod. Find our link tree. We're on all of the socials. And with that, we will see you next time. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.